The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It has already been a wild offseason. Russ is a Bronco. Rodgers is back with the pack. And all of that was just the appetizer. Next week, it's all about free agency. Which huge names will have new homes? Join Get Up every step of the way, beginning Monday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. All right, Champ Week continues today. The New York Life ACC Tournament quarterfinal game, noon Eastern. Syracuse and Duke, how about that matchup? Then we got West Virginia, Kansas a little later in the Big 12. It's all on ESPN and the ESPN app, so you can watch from anywhere. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio here live at the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Another hour of Get Up, and it warms my heart to see this entire group ready to go here. Bart and Diana have got all the football. Tim Hasselbeck is here as well. Monica and Brian Windhorst, a big night in the NBA last night. We've got everything covered. Here we go, Rob Rowland. We got a big hour headed your way. We're getting up with Commander Carson. The quarterback carousel continues turning. Does this latest stop make any sense to anyone? We'll talk about it. Meanwhile, Russell's relocation. Will he rue the day he dashed to Denver? The decision and the division go under the microscope in this hour. Plus, the man, the myth, the legend. Pat McAfee joins me live on all things Aaron, and knowing him, who knows what else? He's on the way. It's a huge hour headed your way here on ESPN. It starts with the quarterback carousel. Keeps on turning. Yesterday, Shefty reporting the Colts are trading Carson Wentz to the Washington Commanders for a package of draft picks. The hugest piece of the trade, of course, is Wentz himself, who goes to Washington, and the new team is picking up the entire $28 million on his contract. The teams are also swapping second-round picks this year, and the Colts will get a third-rounder this year and either a two or a three next year, depending on how many snaps Carson plays. Yeah. So, Diana, for those just joining us, take us through how this deal got done, because I heard a lot of, for lack of a better way of putting it, mixed reviews from people yesterday.
Yeah, definitely Washington. I was listening to Sports Talk Radio, actually, just to hear what those Washington fans were saying down there. And it seemed like they felt like their team got fleeced. And that is not at all the sense I'm getting from talking to both Washington and Indianapolis, as well as just other people around the league. And you look at this deal and you may question, why give up so many picks and what looks like maybe a big salary at $28 million that the Commanders are now going to have to pick up and pay? This is a starting quarterback. This is an instant upgrade at the quarterback position for Washington. And we know they were slightly desperate to upgrade here. Ron Rivera telling reporters that he was making a call to every single organization trying to land a starting quarterback. And look, Aaron Rodgers, we know he wasn't going to Washington. Russell Wilson had his eyes on the Denver Broncos. So what was left? Carson Wentz gives the Washington Commanders a good opportunity with their run game and with hopefully an improved defense.
Look, maybe. Here's what I will say. I've never met Carson Wentz in my entire life. This is not in any way a value judgment that I can make. But there has to be a reason, right? This is the third time now, right, Bart? I mean, the Eagles just were going to get rid of him no matter what it took. And now the Colts are going to get rid of him no matter what it took. At some point, that becomes a red flag. Yeah. And so it's easy to say, yeah, they just upgraded at the position from a talent perspective, obviously. But there are other reasons, I think, to question this.
Yeah, it's never been a physical thing about Carson Wentz's ability to play the game. It's been about his mental part and his ability to fit in and be what you expect for your starting quarterback. That's a leader, right? That's supposed to be a force multiplier, a guy that makes everybody around him better, a guy that makes other guys want to go out there and play hard for him. Listen, when I look at some of the comments from Darius Leonard, it makes me seem like, hey, maybe they did like him within that building, but understood that he just wasn't the answer. You know, now he goes to a division at which he knows, and let's see if he can figure it out mentally and be able to play at that elite level he knows. He's 29 years old. You don't give up on 29-year-old quarterbacks. And we've been talking about today, right now, that, hey, the Commanders picked up, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, and they're paying him $28 million. We would be applauding that. Sure. Well, on his best day, Mitchell Trubisky has never accomplished what Carson Wentz has accomplished, and his ceiling is not nearly as high.
So, Tim Hasselbeck, I feel like the word is resurrect, right? That's what needs to be done here. Wentz is a guy who went to Indy in what I thought was his best opportunity to sort of resurrect what he had been. Now he gets yet another chance. How does it happen? How does it work?
Well, listen, look, when you're drafted where he was drafted, you get another chance. I mean, that's how it works with guys that are drafted that high. I mean, it's a lot of it goes back to the physical ability. So, you know, what do you have to do? I think that, you know, how he is perceived as a leader on the team, how he relates to players, how he relates to coaches, Greeny, I think is as big as how he plays on the field. I really do. Because the reality is like Wentz was not terrible in Indy last year, but there were other factors. And I think that's why they were ready to move on. And I would just say this, in terms of like the reviews of the move, like I don't think you can dispute, anybody that's watched, you know, any football a year ago can dispute that they actually got better at quarterback with this trade, the Commanders did. And it gives them a better chance to compete in the division with this trade. And, you know, to some of the points that Diana made, I don't think it's a high price at all for a guy that's under 30 that's making what he's, you know, due to make over the next 3 years.
Yeah, on top of the fact that the Colts did have other suitors, I was told, interested in Carson Wentz. But, so that could be part of the reason why Washington had to pick up that salary.
You know what's funny? Like, we all applauded last year and picked the Commanders to win the division with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here applauding, and now we want to nix this one. What I think also,
you know what Fitzpatrick is? Ryan Fitzpatrick is a leader. And at the end of the day, right? And that makes a difference at that position, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But a byproduct of this as well is the fact that now the number 9 spot that Seattle now holds becomes a live spot for moving up for a quarterback position, because now Seattle could be trying to go for their future quarterback, and now teams like Pittsburgh should get desperate and be trying to jump up, which makes Atlanta and makes the Giants spot really desirable.
Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett figure to be the first two quarterbacks off the board in this draft. We'll do much more football as we go, but I got to show you last night what happened in the NBA. Get me McNutt and Windhorst over here. Monica, Lakers, Rockets last night. LeBron coming back after the 56-point game that he needed a night off because of the knee, and the knee certainly looked fine on this play.
Yeah, man. Good old back door at 37. This elevation and this power is undeniable.
But he shot just 9 of 26 last night. This is a close game. 2 minutes to go. Jalen Green.
This is the evolution of Jalen Green, Greeny. So much to celebrate from this young guy. Drafted high. He's got a tremendous upside.
Now, here's how regulation went down. Russell Westbrook knocks that down. He had 30. Now, here's the last play in a tie game.
LeBron, what are you doing, bro? Right at the rim. He's got to take that. Considering this team is old and they don't want to play more basketball, he's got to take that.
Yeah, I mean, he ticks it off instead to Melo, who can't hit it, and more basketball they would play, but candidly, they would hardly play at all. It's Jalen Green who would finish with 32, and he owned this overtime.
Listen, wins are tough to come by for the Rockets, but earlier in the year when I had a chance to ask Steven Silas how he's measuring growth, he talked about moments and being able to apply things from game to game, and that showed tremendous growth.
Yeah, that growth for the Rockets and just a disaster for the Lakers, whose slide continues outside of LeBron's 56-point masterpiece on Saturday. They've lost 6 of 7. They're 9 games under 500. And Wendy, as we take a look at those standings there, they're in significant danger of not even making the play-in tournament. You see, Portland is only 3 games behind them with everything that Portland has gone through. I'm just looking at your face. Yeah. You just look horrified.
I can't believe that record, and I can't believe that loss. Mm. They were playing a team that had lost 13 out of 14 games. They were missing one of their best players, and Christian Wood, he was sick. How do you not get that game? And how do you give up 120 points in regulation? Everybody wants to blame Russell Westbrook, and this will be remembered, Greeny, as the Westbrook season. But that is not fair, because Russell Westbrook had 30 points in this game. Mm-hmm. He had 2 turnovers. He had the best plus minus of any of the Lakers starters. This game was lost because the Lakers can't defend. Mm-hmm. And that is the legacy of this season. It is the combination of Westbrook, who's a terrible fit with LeBron, and the fact that they traded all of their key defensive pieces and let another one in Alex Caruso walk out the door to get the deal done. Those two things combining have led to this catastrophe.
Here's what I find myself thinking, Monica, that because he's LeBron and because they're the Lakers, we continuously give them the benefit of the doubt. Well, if this happens, then they can do this. If Anthony Davis is healthy, all these things. Maybe we need to just come to terms with the fact that this is a bad team. I mean, right now, they're very close to being the worst team in the Western Conference.
All the folks making excuses need to come lay on the couch in your office, Dr. Greeny, because that's exactly where we are. And I think as much as LeBron LeBron's stats alone this year have been very impressive, and he's a guy that if something miraculous is going to happen, you would lean on his ability to do it. When you look at the rest of the West, which has been my thing all year, Wendy, you talked about allowing this team. That team had young legs. They ran up and down the floor. They made the Lakers look old. And so even when they are whole as a roster, they don't have the energy, to me, consistently enough to compete with the teams in the West that are getting better and are much younger.
And for those who weren't with us earlier, what did Jalen Green say after the game last night?
And the highlights back it up. He said that I targeted Melo every single time. That was our game plan. We wanted to go right at Melo, and they did. And look, Carmelo's had a good year. He's not a culprit, but he's terrible defensively. He's been terrible defensively for 10 years. That's not a surprise. It's that combination. And Greeny, this is a situation where even though Anthony Davis is hurt, I understand it hasn't gone real well, but this team with the talent that it has, 9 games under .500, that is a shocking, shocking situation. Even with AD missing all these games, and really, it is not going to be simple for them to get out of this.
No, and so that is the question. So then what winds up, give me the Monica McNutt crystal ball here. What happens? We're talking about LeBron James, the greatest player of his generation and one of the greatest of all time. How does he find his way out of this thing eventually?
It's a conversation with the front office. I mean, I agree with you, Wendy, and I'm glad you stood up for Russell Westbrook a little bit because I think he's become an easy target in the mayhem that is the Lakers, but he's probably not a Laker next year. That's pretty much a given. And you figure out a way to piece it together. Those two in particular are a bad fit, but they are going to have to get role guys that they believe in and get younger. If you buy that Monk and Reeves and the guys that they're playing now can take the next step, I still don't know that that's enough for them to compete, again, in a West that's getting younger and better. They've got to put more around LeBron.
And I've been thinking about the scenarios, you know, doing the NBA show now, we've been talking about places we may go for the play-in tournament. Can you imagine if this team winds up in New Orleans after all the trade that Anthony Davis and all that, and they wind up having their season end by losing a game at New Orleans against all those players that they traded away?
Greeny, if their pick falls in the top 10, New Orleans gets it. New Orleans could send them home and say, by the way, leave your pick in the locker room. We'll take it. And by the way, it's unprotected. So they end up with the 8th or 9th pick and it hops up in the lottery. They get to take that too. That is why this is such a difficult situation. When LeBron has been on bad teams in the past, he's been able to get out of it. Either he's moved or the team has traded picks and traded players. They've hemmed themselves in now because they don't have the assets to improve the roster, and they don't control their draft pick. The first year he was in L.A., 3 years ago, he got hurt, things went sideways, they tanked. Ended up getting the fourth pick, they turned it into Anthony Davis. That cavalry is not an option this time.
The one thing, I personally don't buy this, but there is the argument that, when we talked about it going into this season,
yeah,
that Anthony Davis needed to be in the driver's seat. And they even joked about it in the past in the bubble, you know, LeBron and AD joked about that. If you think that Anthony Davis can elevate and play all-star basketball in the way that it is believed he's capable of, maybe things turn out better. But to me, availability is the best ability, and his track record doesn't
say that he'll be on the
floor.
They can't defend, Monica. They can't defend. Even when he plays, they can't defend.
Anthony Davis helps them defend better. They are not great defensively, but a healthy Anthony Davis does help them defend better.
Look, when this season began, with a lot of the question marks being in place that we now see have been answered to the negative, they were the favorites in Vegas to win the Western Conference, and they may not even make the play-in tournament. This is one of the most disappointing seasons any team has had in a really long time. Guys, stay close. More, we'll do a lot more hoops as we continue. But as we go back to football next, Russell's relocation. Will he rue the day he dashed to Denver? The decision and the division will go under the microscope. Plus, don't miss it. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers' return to Green Bay and a whole lot more with the one, the only, Pat McAfee. He joins us live as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back with Tim Hasselbeck's QB quick reads. We got questions, he's got answers. Tim, let's start with this. Should the 49ers hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo?
I actually don't think they should. Not doesn't mean I think they're going to be better by letting him go. But Trey Lance needs to play, Greeny. They gave up so much to go get Trey Lance. He basically, you know, had a COVID year of football where he didn't play. Didn't really play last year. You don't get better at playing the position by watching somebody else play. And so I think they need to just go ahead and kind of rip the Band-Aid off. And the injuries have been a concern for Jimmy Garoppolo. We know he's coming off of surgery this offseason.
And they'll probably get a lot for him, too. All right, next, what's the best place for Mitchell Trubisky to land?
I think it's the New York Giants. I don't think Mitchell Trubisky should go into a situation where he's kind of anointed as the starter. I think the best opportunity is to go somewhere where there's a starter in place that people aren't necessarily crazy about, and then get your opportunity when that guy fails. And so I think the Giants kind of, you know, check a lot of boxes in that regard. He didn't have a ton of starts coming out of college, goes to Chicago with high expectations. He's got a better shot with the scenario I just outlined.
And then finally, Russell Wilson goes to Denver. How do you rank him in division with Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, and Justin Herbert?
Yeah, look, I said this earlier, and I don't, you know, it's not meant to be a shot at Russell Wilson because I think he's an amazing player, but I think he's the third best quarterback in that division. Patrick Mahomes being one, Justin Herbert being two. Herbert, in his first 2 years in the NFL, and he wasn't even scheduled to be the starter his rookie season, has thrown nearly 70 touchdown passes. Like, Justin Herbert is going to be on pace with Mahomes and Josh Allen. And so, look, it's more about how I feel about Herbert necessarily than Russell Wilson.
So let me bring it out to the table here, because Bart Scott, you look very much like you disagree with that when he happens to be exactly right. Are you telling me right now you would rather have Russell Wilson as your quarterback than Justin Herbert?
Absolutely. I mean, listen, it's so difficult, right? Because you talk about a guy that's thrown 70 touchdown passes. Russell Wilson has been in a run-based type of defensive guy, Pete Carroll. You know, real estate and where you play matters as well. But if I had a game on the line, I'd much rather trust Russell Wilson than I would Justin Herbert. And now you give him an opportunity to give him a loaded roster. He's never had an offense that can have a great running back, four great receivers, and allow him to cook. I would argue to say that he made Lockett who he was. Nobody expected Lockett to be a great player when he came in. DK Metcalf was never expected to be a franchise type of quarterback. It's because Russell Wilson and his football acumen. Now you give him the ability to have an offense and a defense. And now watch the players that run to go play with Russell Wilson. Like, we always talk about, you know, that Denver line isn't great. Tell me, outside of just Saturday, another offensive lineman that Peyton Manning ever played with in Indianapolis. Quarterbacks make the offensive line, and he's a great player, and he's going to prove it, and he's on a mission because of the doubt.
I don't know that I'm necessarily disagreeing with that, and Tim, I'll give you a chance to respond, but I'm talking more about what I think we're seeing in Justin Herbert, who I think right now is overcoming a lot of obstacles and playing about as well as anybody.
I know what I know.
From her, you just think matched up against each other Justin Herbert right now in his career isn't better than Russell.
I just think all things being equal, Russell Wilson is a better quarterback, but all things haven't been equal. He didn't have a great team to play with. I think that Russell Wilson is going to remind us. You talk about a couple years ago, him throwing 40 touchdown passes with a porous offensive line. He doesn't have a great left tackle like Herbert has. He doesn't have, the number one, guard in Tooney, or I forget the kid that came out there from Green Bay.
Right.
They have a great offensive line. Let
Tim respond, and then I get Diane in here. Go ahead, Timmy.
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways, Like we're splitting hairs on it a little bit. Look, there's going to be some weeks Justin Herbert is much better than Russell Wilson, and Wilson will have his moments where he's better. But if you're just saying, like, hey, these three quarterbacks, and you had to put them in a list, look, you're not allowed to put them in the same spot. Look, Justin Herbert's ability is, like, when you look at certain quarterbacks that are just, at another level physically, like you look at Mahomes and you look at Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert is in that same mix. And, like, look, ranking quarterbacks in divisions in some ways, like, look, it's a fun little exercise. But Trevor Lawrence, probably the second-best quarterback in the AFC South. So what? You know, Mac Jones, second-best quarterback in the AFC East. So what? Like, there is an element of, look, whether you like Bart's list or my list, it really doesn't matter.
Right.
The reality is do you have a quarterback that's good enough to help you win a championship? And the truth is, the Chiefs do, the Chargers do, and so now do the Denver Broncos.
I think the Raiders do too, candidly, but that's neither here nor there. So let me come to you on this question, Diana, because he's right. What really matters here is, can Russell Wilson win a second Super Bowl in his career in Denver? What were you hearing from people around the league after this deal?
Absolutely. I don't think the people that I was speaking with were as all in as Bart is here in early March going, the Denver Broncos are winning the Super Bowl. Are the Denver Broncos now relevant? Are they better? Absolutely. Guys, they still have a first-year head coach, okay? They still need to get better in some areas, especially their offensive line needs to improve. The offensive line in Seattle was actually better last season than the Denver Broncos had to deal with. So, look, Tim made a good point. We're splitting hairs here. I mean, the person that makes our schedule knows to never put me on a show with Tim because I always agree with him. No offense, Bart. That's why they always stick us together because we always have different views of this. But I think the big story here for Denver is we never sit on this show talking about the Denver Broncos, and now we get to.
Well, look, here's where I will agree with you completely. When we woke up yesterday morning, or is it 2 days ago, I've lost track, they had no chance, and right. Now they have a chance.
Yeah.
And that, I guess, is the most significant thing we can say.
And they're not done, right? They have plenty of salary cap space. Russell Wilson only counts for $24 million against the salary cap. So you talk about he doesn't have a great offensive line, he'll go buy offensive line. You think Dwayne Brown, who was just protecting him the majority of his career, wouldn't come over to play with Russ to let him cook? Come on.
These teams love to win March. Let's try to win in December. And
let's see what happens when Rogers' contract details
right
come out and Russell gets a new one as well.
Right,
I got to get to a break here. Coming up, we've got Pat McAfee on the way in this hour. He'll be live talking all things Aaron, and knowing him, who knows what else. So don't miss McAfee coming up. Plus, the first taste of what could be the NBA's next great rivalry. What happens when Simmons goes back to Philly tonight? How significant is this game? We'll talk about it with our basketball crew, which will include my uncle Seth Greenberg, no relation. And Hembo, welcome Seth, with this question. Which NBA franchise has the most players scoring titles? That's the question. The answer is coming up next. You are watching Get Up on ESPN.
Hembo.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and my uncle Seth Greenberg, no relation, has made his way in. All right, Hembo's ready for you. So here's the question. Which NBA franchise has the most player scoring titles? Let me make clear, we're not talking about individual players, but seasons. So if LeBron James leads the league in scoring five times, that counts as five.
You know, I'm no Dan Graziano.
Okay.
I understand that. But, see, I think that Hembo wants me to say the Sixers because Embiid is leading the league in scoring. But I think if you go back to the history and think about all the great players that played for the Lakers. I mean, you got Kareem and Wilt and Baylor and Kobe.
Jerry
I'm
West.
Going with the Lakers.
The Lakers are incorrect. The answer is the Warriors. And here's the problem you have. Wilt Chamberlain played for the Warriors. And I'm sure, I don't have the number in front of me, but I'm sure of the 14, he's quite a few of those.
Hembo just pump faked me once
The Bulls
again.
Are next at 10, at Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
And the Lakers are third with 7. So score that one for sneaky Hembo. Meanwhile, let's run the floor here. We got good action last night, including Jason Tatum, the Celtics star, following up his 54-point performance on Sunday with 44 more as the Celtics beat the Hornets last night, 115-101. Celtics have won 15 of their last 17 games. So when we talk about the Eastern Conference, do not overlook Boston. Meanwhile, in Milwaukee, Giannis poured in 43 and added 12 rebounds as the Bucks beat the Hawks 124-115. Giannis scored 82 points in a 24-hour span. He had 39 the night before against OKC. In Miami, this was our game on ESPN last night. The top team in the East just got blown out by the best of the West. The Suns are just the best team in basketball. 111-90 was your win for the Suns last night. Devin Booker came back, led the way with 23. Phoenix becomes the first team to clinch a playoff spot. Meanwhile, with that Miami loss, the Bucks move up, at least for the moment, as the closest team for the one seed. They're two games back, and then you see the Sixers, and obviously they get center stage tonight as the Brooklyn Nets come to town with Kyrie, KD, and Ben Simmons, we think, in street clothes. And so Seth and Brian Windhorst and Monica McNutt are here. Wendy, I'll start with you. Set the scene. What are we expecting from a Simmons standpoint tonight?
Well, I'm expecting him to get treated terribly. I'm expecting the fans to be more focused on the bench for the first quarter than they are on the court. And we'll see how game ops, you know, how often are they going to put him on the scoreboard? How often are they going to show other moments where they have an opportunity to boo him? That, to me, is going to be in Philadelphia's court. We'll see how they handle it.
Did Doc say that maybe they should do a tribute video?
That was so antagonistic. I know that his heart may have been in the right place. Can you imagine the booing that would happen during that video? You wouldn't even be able to hear it on the PA system.
Would they show the moment that he gives up the dunk at end of Game 7 last year?
God knows what he would do with that show.
So what do you expect? Because Simmons not going to play. We know that for certain. He's going to sit on the bench. The crowd's going to have their thing. You said earlier, someone in the stands is going to lose their arena privileges. Mm-hmm. But then it's going to be a basketball game and an important one. What do we expect?
Well, I mean, the pick and roll, the thing about the pick and roll is it has not been just James and Joel, right? When James operates with anybody in the pick and roll, he creates so much space. So that part is going to be a puzzle for the Nets to defend. How do you contend with the size of Joel Embiid? On the other side, Kyrie is locked in right now. And I think he's looking forward to the task of being guarded probably by Matisse Thybulle for the bulk of this ballgame. So between Kyrie and KD, I expect the ball to move a lot for the Nets and that side of the offense to have a little bit more flow than what we see from Philly.
What do you think, Uncle Seth, between Kyrie and KD? Monica made the point earlier. These two don't need a third member of the big three. And when Simmons comes back, from an offensive standpoint, he really won't be. Are these two guys enough to win this tonight and to take this team deep in the playoffs?
Could they win tonight? Sure, they could win tonight, but will they win tonight? Because they're playing against a team. You talk about a ball screen offense, the two best guys in the NBA right now playing two-man game. And think about this. Tyrese Maxey, what he's been able to do alongside James Harden's been incredible. They're plus like 67 points with those three guys. They're averaging 132 points for together per game per 48 minutes. Why? Because James Harden is a shot creator, not only for himself, but for others. He makes the game so easy for everyone on the floor. His vision, his ability, his size, his strength, his ability to make Joel Embiid have the game come to him so easily. I expect Philadelphia to win this game. I also expect that Ben Simmons is there. He needs to be there, and he needs to exercise his demons. You know what? Every single time he goes to Philadelphia, he's not going to get this treatment. Get it out of the way so the next time you come when you're playing, you can sit down and you can go and compete and play.
I want to get one quick minute here. I know I have to run to some other things, but I want to get a minute from a coach on the Nets. All right? They're going to have the big three whenever Simmons gets out there. If they're lucky, those three guys will have played three games together by the time they get to the playoffs. Is it conceivable that with that little time together, this team could make a run to the NBA Finals?
It's conceivable, but I don't expect it. And I don't expect it because, you know, you're going to have Kyrie in certain games, out of certain games. You don't have those practice times that you need to develop the trust, the bond. And then how do you use Ben Simmons? To me, he's a 4 or 5. And you put him in a ton of ball screens, and he short rolls, and he becomes a playmaker. His impact on the game will be on the defensive end, Ben Simmons, not on the offensive end.
Can they do it? If he made the point earlier, if Kyrie's not available for them every game, they can't do it. Can they do it?
Yes, I think they can do it. And I think we have forgotten just how good Kevin Durant is and what he was doing before the injury. I think they can do it.
He's the best player in the world.
Basketball is about games and moments. Can KD have that moment to propel this team? Yes. Can something wonky and we got an injury or something happen? Can it happen? Yes.
Wendy is the best crystal ball of anybody I know. Who wins the East? As we sit here right now, March 10th.
Milwaukee, they've got the best player.
He's the best player. In a conference that has KD and Joel Embiid in it, he's the best player.
What I watched in Game 6 last year, if he can repeat that, he will be.
They've got the best team.
That's where I am.
Compliments. Yeah. His skill set.
And I think Miami is right there, too. Miami is the number four team. And talk about a value bet. They're fourth in the odds. My God.
They're first in the standings.
Greeny's
and
going
they're fourth
Jimmy
in the
Greek
odds. All right, I've got to get some college stuff in here as well. I want to remind you, we have a great primetime Saturday night game on ABC. All right, it's also on the ESPN app. We'll have Steph and Clay and the Warriors hosting Giannis and the Bucks. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown 8 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, Seth, you'll like this. What a finish for your Virginia Tech Hokies. Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander have the call. Listen to this.
3 seconds. Maddox wants to take the three. He drains it at the buzzer. Virginia Tech at the buzzer. 76-75. Corey, they went for the W and the dagger.
The madness of March is already upon us. What'd you think there?
BG's game, staying alive game. Virginia Tech could not afford to lose to Clemson. Now they got to go and they got to find a way to win today. But right now they stayed alive. But big play, big moment. And that's what March Madness is all about. Like championship week is almost better than the NCAA tournament because the moments that you have day in and day out. College basketball never disappoints during championship.
That's exactly right. And you are down here because you'll be across the river in Brooklyn for the ACC tournament at Barclays. And Syracuse Duke is coming up today. And Syracuse will be playing without Buddy Boeheim, who's been suspended for throwing a punch. Very quickly, for those who are not aware, how significant is this? And do you believe he deserved the suspension?
Yeah, he has to get suspended. You got to adjudicate the rules. So here's the deal. Closed fist. Intent to hit, no doubt about it. Now, should the officials seen it in that moment in time, in real time? Sure, they should have. And that would have been a flagrant, too. He would have been suspended, obviously, the rest of the game. Here's the deal. The league still would have looked at it. They could have suspended him for this game as well. So you can't adjudicate this one way for Buddy Boeheim, who's the coach's son, and another way for another player. So, you know, the rule is very, very simple. In real time. If that happens and you don't see it, it goes to the league office, and the league office makes a decision. They had no choice. They had to suspend them. That is the rule.
And so they get Duke today. And I will say this, as I watched the proceedings on Saturday night and everything where Duke lost that game, the first thought I had was I would hate to be the next team that has to play them with the way Coach K was after that game and everything else. Is Duke right now, do they have championship stuff? Is this a team that could cut down the nets?
They have championship pedigree, but to me, my concern about Duke is late game execution right now. At the end of a game, they have not done a good job of finishing up games. At the end of a game, they haven't played through their best player. At the end of a game, they don't know who they want to get to do the ball to, where they want to get the ball to, and how they want to get him the ball. Paolo Banchero is one of the best players in the country. He's going to be the first, second, or third pick in the draft. Where does he want the ball? Does he want it on the left elbow? Does he want it on the left mid post? They've got to figure out a way to get the ball to their best player late game, where he wants to, and they got to figure out how they're going to get him the basketball. If they don't, in the NCAA tournament, you're going to play close games. All right, you're going to play competitive games. You've got to be able to close out those games at the end of the game. Are they improved defensively? Yes, they don't turn you over as much. But at the end of the game, you've got to know how you're going to finish off that game. And until they do that, they are a risk to win a national championship.
All right, so I feel like this is sort of sneaking up on us. Selection Sunday is this weekend, the madness of March. You're getting set to fill out your sheet of integrity. Give everybody three players that they need to be watching closely as the tournament begins next week.
Jaden Ivey at Purdue. To me, he's part Ja Morant. He's part Russell Westbrook. He's explosive off the bounce. He can get in the lane. A terrific passer transition, freakish athlete. He should be able to take over game, late game. Purdue's a very good basketball team. They're like Noah's Ark. They got to everything. Jaden Ivey for sure is a guy you must watch because he can really, really make plays.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then you got Auburn, the job Bruce Pearl's done. Jabari Smith, he's 6'10". It'll remind you a little bit of Kevin Durant. 43% from the three-point line, can create separation, rebound the ball. The last five games, averaging 20 points, 8 rebounds. But here's another guy at the end of the game. He's got to get the basketball. In the losses they've had, he hasn't touched the ball late game. Play through him because you know what? He can step out and shoot a three. He can beat you off the bounce. He can make plays for others, and he's a willing passer. But this last dude is just different. 15 rebounds a game. Oscar Tshiebwe is just different. 5 offensive rebounds a game. What does that rebounding do? 1, it initiates your fast break. 2, get you extra possessions. Also, they're playing through Oscar Moore right now in the low block, and he's scoring it. And if he doubles, he's also doing a pretty good job of pitching it up. But Oscar Tshiebwe leads him in points. Rebounds, steals, blocks. He dominates the game 15 feet and in. And you know what? He's like Pac-Man. He just gobbles up every missed shot, which gets you extra possessions.
Did I hear they're your pick to win it all? Kentucky right now?
Kentucky right now. The pieces fit. I mean, you got Oscar Tshiebwe. We got Savvy Wheeler, who's a shot creator. Ty Washington is a guy that what I call a ball guard. He can score it and also make plays. Their front court guys compliment Oscar Tshiebwe. Right. Kentucky's.
We winner. Won't hold you to it, but we'll remember that you said it. Meanwhile, Seth is headed over.
By the way, you know, I got something for you.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is going back to Green Bay.
Oh, I hadn't heard. The news of that hadn't reached us. A champ week continues today at the ACC. Quarterfinal, we just talked about it, Syracuse and Duke. Then we got the Big 12 later with West Virginia, Kansas. All the action is on ESPN. All right, coming up, don't miss it. The one, the only, the man himself, Pat McAfee. What a surprise. He's wearing a black tank top. He will join us live in just a moment. Don't miss it. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I am excited and elated. America, let's get to this.
Let's go!
Look thick. I feel very good about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
What's up, dude?
This game's given me a lot, and I'm very, very thankful.
That dude is good at the football.
Hi-yo!
Don't let anybody tell you different. We were the first ones to put Pat McAfee on ESPN because we saw it before the rest of the world saw it. And here he is, the man whose name has become like an adverb, the one, the only Pat McAfee. It is a delight to have you back. How are you, Patrick?
I'm absolutely honored to be here, and you're 100% right, Greeny. Whenever I used to wake up at 4 a.m. in New York City, go to those 5 a.m. meetings and watch you and the entire team over there work, it was a dream come true. Now I just say dumb stuff on the internet every single day, and I'm lucky to be back on Get Up on ESPN with two-time Hall of Famer Michael Greenberg. It's great to be here, dude. Great to be here.
You said that very nicely there. Thank you. All right, so you are now known for any number of things, and among them be your weekly interviews with Aaron Rodgers. So Rodgers staying in Green Bay, there was no surprise that you were the first place we would hear that from. What do you know that we don't about this decision, about however it is that he wrestled with it, about all the things that went into it? What can you tell us that everyone doesn't already know?
So it's a fascinating situation because we kept up with the entire story about what was going to happen. And obviously the legend Diana Rossini in there was breaking some news, and she is fantastic at her job. But through the entire process of him deciding what he wanted to do, what he wasn't going to do, I didn't mention or chat with him at all. I kind of let him go off into his own world, didn't want to put any pressure, didn't want to hear what it was. Then when my source says called me the other day and said, hey, he's going back, I'm going back to Green Bay. I think what was being talked about that hasn't been chatted about is that retirement was a very real consideration for him. And then whenever the announcement for me and Rappaport that you guys blasted all over your headlines and everything, that it's a 4-year, $200 million deal, I followed up with my source, Sizz, and asked if that was real. And that deal offered to my source, Sizz, but in the end, he inevitably said that that is not what he was in this for. He was never in this for. If you watched any of the conversations that he had with us over the last 2 years, every single Tuesday, he would sit here for an hour, 45 minutes during his two MVP runs, back-to-back MVP runs, and almost describing this entire thing as a money grab is a direct shot against who the human he is right now. He's a hippie. He's super lovey. He loves the universe he's in. And he just wanted to find out what the best decision was for him. There was retirement thoughts, considerations. I was told by my source, says that he meditated on that, thought about that for a long time, and inevitably he's going to go back to the Green Bay Packers on a cap-friendly deal, hopefully get a lot of pieces around him that he loves and he enjoys, and make another run at this thing for the Green Bay Packers. But I don't believe this was a clear, concise decision the entire way. I think there was multiple days where he thought about doing something vastly different than going back to the Pack.
And so there's something vastly different. He's mentioned retirement. You mentioned retirement. How real was the possibility ever of him going to a different team? Denver is the one that everyone talked about. Do you get a sense that he seriously considered going somewhere else?
In my opinion, I think he separated himself from all of those conversations this particular time. Last year, he might have been in it a little bit more when he was jumping off waterfalls and he had real gripes with the Green Bay Packers front office for how things have been handled, not only with him, but with Green Bay Packers legends of the past. This year, he wanted to separate himself from everything and kind of figure out what he actually wanted long-term, in the near future, and what he really thinks is the best option for him. So although I think he understood that there were some teams interested and maybe he would have dabbled in those particular thoughts, for him, I think how long he wanted to play, if he wanted to play, was much bigger a part of the conversation and the decision-making process than where he was inevitably going to go other than the Packers, in my personal opinion.
Well, everyone on the set with me wants to jump in with you here, so I'm going to let them in a minute. But let me ask you one more thing. Your team, your beloved Indianapolis Colts, need a quarterback now. Carson Wentz is in Washington. Do you have any ideas? So a little birdie whispered in my ear, and by that I mean I follow you on social media, that maybe you are ready to throw your hat in the ring, Pat. What's the reality here?
Listen, you see how smooth this ball is in my hand, okay? Perfect passer rating on Thanksgiving, all right? I got no problem going in there for the Indianapolis Colts. And I think anytime you think about the Carson Wentz experience that the Indianapolis Colts have, you have to put it in a couple different categories. For instance, when he was playing good football, it is great. I mean, it is electrifying. It is fantastic. But he is the most reckless quarterback I've ever seen in my entire life with the football. The ball is the program. I didn't grow up in the football culture. I got dropped and baptized in it at West Virginia when I was there. But literally day one through the day that I retired, the only thing that coaches and programs and organizations talked about was protecting the football. And although his stats say he threw 27 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions, there was 4 interceptions dropped by the Niners. That was just in one game. The guy is a madman. He's incredibly tough, too tough for his own good, in my particular opinion. I think that's what Jim Irsay thought. I think that's what Chris Ballard thought. It was heart-wrenching every single time you watch Carson Wentz play. Every single play was no play left behind. We are going to try to extend this thing as long as possible. Even if I sprain both of my ankles on this play, I'm going to continue to try to make a play. So I think it just got to the point with how good the team is around Carson here in Indianapolis. The Colts said, we just have to find a much more, you know, reliable, calm, consistent quarterback. In my particular eyes, could I be that guy? Maybe. I mean, I got a 50% complete.
So maybe he's ready.
I could throw it around. I don't know if my IQ is ready. My vitamin THC inhalation is going to have to drop down a little bit. But my opinion, I think what the Colts are going to be looking for is just a quarterback that can casually get them through a game manager almost, even though that's a bad term. With that offensive line, and I know they lost Eric Fisher, but we got enough money to bring in like Armstead maybe. Come on into Indy, pal. It's a good time. And with Jonathan Taylor in the back, with that defense, 7 Pro Bowlers, we just need a quarterback that's consistent, will manage the game and get us through there. So if the Paisan Jimmy G wants to come to Indianapolis, how's your family? How's the gabagool? It is fantastic. Fantastic. There's rumors of Kirk Cousins maybe being on the move. We got a lot of money. I would love for that. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I think that's what they're looking for. I heard the gentleman, Tim Hasselbeck, earlier talking about it's not easy to find a better quarterback. I agree completely. I'm excited to see what Chris Ballard does in this entire free agency period.
All right, I got like 2.5 minutes left, so everyone, Hasselbeck, go ahead, jump in. What? Give me a quick question for McAfee.
Well, listen, Pat knows he's my favorite Colts backup quarterback of all time, hands down, without a question. I mean, he knows that. I want to know who McAfee's next, like, routine guest is, because, like, any player, like quarterback or any other position that's disgruntled, like, I just want to know who's on McAfee's radar that we're going to talk about every Tuesday going forward.
Listen, there's a lot of guys out there that I would be honored to have conversations with on a regular basis. The fact that I get to do it with Aaron Rodgers through the last two seasons, hopefully another year of that will happen with the Green Bay Packers next year. But anybody that wants to stop by for good casual conversation, I'm with it. You saw Vince McMahon in here last week having a good time. You saw Brock Lesnar in here breaking our set, throwing his headsets up there. I enjoy chatting. I enjoy conversation. And if anybody that's on the Mount Rushmore of the NFL, like Aaron Rodgers, is or anybody else wants to stop by, I'd be honored. Matt Hasselbeck used to be a regular guest. He was a backup quarterback for the Colts. I'm happy to hear that your blood is not thicker than your friendship with me, Tim. I appreciate that.
Matt, but Vince McMahon, by the way, offered him a shot. He's going to be wrestling in WrestleMania coming up. Super quick. Go ahead, Bart.
Well, Pat, when you talk about Aaron Rodgers contemplating retirement, how does that weigh in on Devontae Adams, you know, decision to go on with a long-term contract? Because once you start thinking about retirement, you're almost there.
Pat, quick.
Yeah, Bart, it's tough, right? Because once you've got there, everybody knows how difficult of a decision that is to make, get to. I retired young, but I was thinking about it for a couple years almost. And once I decided, you know what, I'm not scared of retirement anymore. And I think that was something that Aaron was very open about. Last offseason, when he was disgruntled with how things were going with the Packers, not only for himself, but for the entirety of the Packers organization, all the way back to Favre and all the other OGs that kind of got ran out of town and treated poorly in his eyes and many others in the Packers organization's eyes. When he was jumping off waterfalls and everything, he said he no feared retirement. He no longer feared any of that. I don't know what it means for Devontae. I know they got him back on the franchise tag for another year of magic. That dude deserves all the money in the world. He'll get another year with a guy that he has a lot of, you know, chemistry with, and hopefully they'll be able to continue to dominate.
And we ran out of time, but say a quick hello to your buddy McAfee.
I know, Pat, I didn't really get to chat with you here, but look, you have stuck with the journalism to a T. You don't reveal your source. So good work on there, Pat.
Thank you, Diane. I'm trying to learn from you, the goat in this entire thing. Greeny, thanks for having me back. You all are amazing. I watch every morning.
McAfee, I'm proud of you. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. That's Pat McAfee again. His show, As Good As It Gets, right now, coast to coast. You see him on YouTube and everywhere else. Thank you, McAfee. We'll see you soon. All right, we got to run here. First Take is coming up top of the hour here on ESPN. What was the most frustrating part of the Lakers' loss last night? Plus, are the Colts better off without Carson? Molly, Stephen A., Tim Hasselbeck, Jay Williams answer all those questions. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, I got 30 seconds till get up. Reporters hate guessing, but I'm going to make you do it anyway. Who would you guess right now is going to be the Indy starting quarterback next year?
Just for fun, I'm going with Mitchell Trubisky.
What do you think of that, Bartholomew?
Jimmy G, the courtship is suffice.
Jimmy G, he's going to be a hot commodity, right? I mean,
Yeah, of course, yeah. But look, maybe the Niners keep him. You never know.
We'll see. It's going to be a very interesting week next
James
week.
James Winston.
One way or another, thanks for getting up with us here. It's been a very busy day. Thanks again to my buddy McAfee. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.